Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble, here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank God it is Friday. I'm sure that we are all feeling the same way. It's been a long week. It's been a very busy week. We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. First of all, I'd like to say to all of my Wiccan and Pagan friends, Happy Lammas. As Pagans and Wiccans, we celebrated the first of three harvest festivals yesterday on August the 1st. Lammas is the first of those harvest holidays. And basically what we are celebrating is the bountiful harvest in all its forms, be it flowers, vegetables, you name it, fruits, vegetables, herbs, flowers, and even your own personal harvest, in your life, like the completion of a new project. Maybe you've got a new job that you've been in school for a really long time to learn that job, learn that profession, and you're finally getting into it and all of your hard work has finally paid off. Celebrate those harvests. Celebrate all those personal harvests and give thanks to whether it's the god or the goddess or whatever your belief system is. Give thanks for all of those harvests in your life. So, anyway, that's what I wanted to do first of all, is wish all my fellow pagan brothers and sisters Happy Lammas. So, what happened this week? Well, first of all, we had NSA leaker Edward Snowden was finally granted asylum in Russia, and I don't know that there was any of us that were really surprised by this, that we all kind of thought maybe eventually that it was going to happen. He was granted asylum by Russian President Vladimir Putin. And, well, you know what it is that basically our standing in the world, the United States standing in the world right now is so pathetic and it's so weak. You know, I'm not sure who in the Obama administration coined the phrase leading from behind, but there's no such thing. You don't lead from behind. It doesn't make any sense. And if that's the whole game plan, you're leading from behind or whatever moronic, idiotic principle that's supposed to represent, you don't do that. And first of all, Vladimir Putin is a former KGB guy. And so you can kind of figure out right there that he's not going to play around. And he's basically what Russia has done has they have flipped off the United States, basically. They have given America the finger by giving this guy asylum. And Vladimir Putin has thumbed his nose at Barack Obama because he knows he can. He's done it because he knows that there are going to be no consequences to his actions. What are the consequences to Putin's actions? Well, there are two here, actually. President Obama is scheduled to go to the G20 summit next month, which is in Russia. And so now he has, well, you know, he's waffling on whether or not to go because, boy, if he doesn't show up, that'll show Vlad, won't it? The other thing here, too, is another possibility of punishment for those damn Ruskies is boycotting the Winter Olympics next year, which are going to be held in Sochi, Russia. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. S-O-C-H-I. Sochi or Sochi, Russia. And also, that again, by God, that'll show Vlad, won't it? That rotten Ruski, that rotten commie, Vlad. Well, you know what? I think both of these two alternatives probably have old Vlad rolling on the floor laughing his butt off. And again, he's doing it because, well, he can. And you know the thing about the Olympics, too, is that when the Olympics become political like this, and I understand that due to world events and goings-on, that at times it's going to. Like back in 1980, when Russia, when the former Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, and the first action of the United States, one of the first actions was to contemplate boycotting the Olympics that year in Moscow. And when we do that, I realize that politicians and elected officials, I realize that they are trying to send a political message. But what you're doing really is you're punishing athletes. Athletes who have trained all of their lives for those few moments on an Olympic stage in front of a world stage, in front of a world spotlight. And, you know, if you're going to send a message, I know it's really a stretch to ask Barack Obama to grow a pair or to ask Michelle if she will give that pair back to him. But, you know, whether or not he goes to the G20 summit, you know, that'll remain to be seen. But don't boycott Olympics. Don't make Olympics political because it's not fair to the athletes. They have nothing to do with it. But anyway, Edward Snowden has been in Russia for probably over a month now. He had kind of settled in quite nicely into the Russian airport there. So I guess he has spent the last little over a month or so just kind of hanging out and learning some Russian, and because he figured, well, he's going to be there a while. And you know what? Guess what? He was right. So he's been eating really crappy, bad Russian airport food. He has been learning Russian. Let's see, what else? Oh, well, he says here that he really has no plans to leave. I hope for his sake that he really likes cold weather because, well, he's going to get a whole lot of it. And you know what? He probably should not have any plans to leave. Whether or not he would come back here and there would be any sort of repercussions that he would be prosecuted in any way, you know, who knows, given this bunch. But he does say he has no plans to leave. He has a job offer. I'm sure that he has, you know, come up with a place to live. So let's see, he's going to have a job. He'll have an apartment, no doubt. And of course, he's going to be reunited with his family and with his girlfriend. What's not to love, except for that really crappy, insanely cold Russian winters? But other than that, and from what I understand, a lot of people get through those insanely cold Russian winters, with a little vodka here and there. But, so there's that. So we can look forward to Edward Snowden settling down in Russia with said girlfriend and possible family. And, you know, everything will be great for him. You know, so there's that. Let's see. We also have this week, it's been reported. Actually, it was reported by CNN, believe it or not. Apparently, CNN maybe has looked at the ratings book and decided that their ratings are really not quite so hot, and so that they had to come up with a bold, as Bill O'Reilly would say, they had to come up with a bold, fresh idea. And well, that bold, fresh idea for them was actually reporting the news. And they have been reporting that on the night of the attacks in Benghazi, Libya, the attacks on the Russian the attacks on the American consulate in Benghazi when our ambassador, Christopher Stevens, was killed, apparently the CIA was all over the place that night. And but now it's being reported that, certain higher-ups in the administration, well, they're trying to make sure that those pesky CIA agents, well, that they kind of keep quiet and they don't really talk about what went on that night, the night that for the first time in 30 years we had an American ambassador murdered.
In the wake of the attack, sources now tell CNN dozens of CIA agents were on the ground that night and that the agency is going to great lengths to make sure whatever they were doing and whatever happened that night remains a secret. Here's investigative correspondent Drew Griffin.
CNN has learned the CIA is involved in what one source calls an unprecedented attempt to keep the spy agency's Benghazi secrets from ever leaking out. Since January, some CIA operatives involved in the agency's missions in Libya have been subjected to frequent, even monthly, polygraph examinations, according to a source with deep inside knowledge of the agency's working. The goal of the questioning, according to sources, is to find out if anyone is talking to the media or Congress. It's being described as pure intimidation with the threat that any unauthorized CIA employee who leaks information could face the end of his or her career. In exclusive communications obtained by CNN, one insider writes, "You don't jeopardize yourself, you jeopardize your family as well." Another says, "You have no idea the amount of pressure being brought to bear on anyone with knowledge of this operation."
Agency employees typically are polygraphed every 3 to 4 years, never more than that.
The rate of this kind of polygraphing is rare, according to former CIA operatives, including Robert Baer, now a national security analyst for CNN.
If somebody is being polygraphed every month or every 2 months, it's called an issue polygraph, and that means that the polygraph division suspects something, or they're looking for something, or they're on a fishing expedition. But it's absolutely not routine at all to be polygraphed monthly or bi-monthly or whatever.
In a statement from CIA Public Affairs Director Dean Boyd, the agency asserted it's being open with Congress. The CIA has worked closely with its oversight committees to provide them with an extraordinary amount of information related to the attack on U.S. facilities in Benghazi, the statement reads. CIA employees are always free to speak to Congress if they want, and that the CIA enabled all officers involved in Benghazi the opportunity to meet with Congress. We are not aware of any CIA employee who has experienced retaliation, including any non-routine security procedures, or who has been prevented from sharing a concern with Congress about the Benghazi.
So what was really going on that night? What happened that night, the night that the American consulate was attacked, that could possibly be so damning that people in the administration are going to these lengths to cover up, to threaten, to intimidate CIA operatives? CIA operatives, you've got to get up pretty early in the morning to intimidate people who are CIA operatives because they have seen and heard it all, almost literally. And so I think that moves us ahead in light of this report. I think it moves us ahead to the next question. Well, and it's basically the question that we've been asking all along here. What happened that night? That's the first question we've been asking. What happened that night? Where was the president for the entire 7 or 8 hours that this attack was going on? Why was there no assistance given to all of these people who were in the consulate that night? Because there are survivors. There wasn't just the four people who were in that building that night. Ambassador Stevens and the two Navy SEALs and others that were there that were killed. What happened? And I think they're going to try to cover this up. They're going to stonewall. They're going to keep stalling and stonewalling until, at the very least, until after the midterm elections next year. if not, if they can, I'm sure that somebody is thinking, hey, maybe we can even keep this going. Maybe we can even keep this stalling going till after the next election, and we can get Hillary Clinton in office. You know, so maybe it sounds like a stretch, but I don't think that we can put anything past this crowd when it comes to all of these phony scandals. You know, there's four dead people here. There's four dead Americans, but the president has the gonads to say that this is a phony scandal. Really? Anyway, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about the most blatant hypocrisy. One of the most hypocritical statements I have ever heard in my life from anybody when we get back. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for joining me tonight. Be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Myself and a federal employee at the IRS, and that is we have right now, as employees of the government of the IRS, affordable health care coverage. And I think the ACA was designed to provide an option or an alternative for individuals that do not. And all else being equal, I think if you're an individual who's satisfied with your health care coverage, you're probably in a better position to stick with that coverage than go through the change of moving into a different environment and going through that process. So I think for a federal employee, I think more likely, and I would can speak for myself, I prefer to stay with the current policy that I'm pleased with rather than go through a change if I don't need to go through that change.
I would lose my mind when I heard this man say what he just said. How can you sit, whether it's before Congress or in a dark room all by yourself, and say, well, you know, I'm really happy with my plan, and I just really don't want to go through the hassle of changing it, and I just don't think that I should be made to do that. Well, you know, Danny, I don't think that you should make me do that either. First of all, I don't think that you should make me do that. Second of all, I don't think that the IRS has any business being in the business of healthcare. And this whole thing, the whole Obamacare train wreck is just that. And, you know, I mean, everyone wants exemptions and everybody wants, you've got hundreds and hundreds of Barack Obama's friends and cronies, they're all getting waivers for their businesses and for their companies and their corporations. Why don't I get a waiver? I think Obamacare sucks. Why do I have to go through it and pay for it and go broke trying to pay for it and try to finagle my way through this maze of bureaucratic junk? You know, why should I have to do it but he doesn't have to? And it's the whole problem right now. It's the whole problem. Part of the problem that's going on right now is, all depending on who you are, you get a pass for all these things that the Obama administration is going to shove down the American people's throat and put them through. And so, you know, if you're on the right side of the fence, apparently, hey, great, bully for you. But if you're not, well, you know, tough schmoles, you will have to just navigate your way through and, you know, enter at your own risk kind of attitude. And I'm really hoping that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, and the rest of the gang are really going to come up with a way that they can get enough senators to come on board with this defunding of Obamacare while funding the rest of the federal government to prevent a government shutdown, but yet defund the whole thing, because it's such a nightmare and it's such a train wreck. So there was that. Also this week, not just here in St. Louis, there were several other cities around the nation. I believe New York was one, Detroit was one, Chicago. It was about seven cities all told where you had a bunch of fast food workers, people who work at McDonald's, Arby's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, you name it. They went on strike. And they went on strike to protest the minimum wage being right now, at least right now in Missouri, at $7.35 an hour. And they would like to up that minimum wage to a living wage, which they believe a living wage would be, oh, around $15 an hour. Okay, well, first of all, you know, everybody knows that it's not an easy job. I never worked fast food myself, but I know people that did, and it's not a pretty job sometimes. You have to deal with really crappy people, and they'll give you a hard time just to be giving you a hard time. But I'm not sure that these people realize that jobs at McDonald's and jobs at Wendy's and jobs at Arby's, they're entry-level jobs, they're entry-level positions. They're designed to get young people, people who are teenagers, maybe juniors and seniors in high school, or just getting out of high school and entering college and trying to get their feet wet into the workforce and see what it's like. They have to learn how to keep the job. They have to show up on time. They have to work their entire shift. They can't just leave when they want. They have to, if they want a day off, they have to ask in advance of it so the manager can schedule for that person not to be there. It's designed to teach you about how to behave in the workforce. And, you know, people, I'm sorry, but McDonald's and Taco Bell was never meant to be a career opportunity. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I could sit here and lecture people about making choices in life and having children when you're younger and all that, you know, but I'm not going to do that. A, who am I? We have all made mistakes and we've all made the choices in our lives that we've made. But I also don't think that all of these people, while they're protesting, they don't understand the economics of this either, because when you pay someone $15 an hour, that restaurant, that franchise, and many of them are independently franchised, you're not going to be able to keep all of those people on. You're going to be taking, if Susie Q wants $15 an hour, then little Joni over here is more than likely going to get fired because the manager can't afford to pay both of these workers $15 an hour. And let's not even talk about, you know, a big, if you go into McDonald's right now and you order a Big Mac, what, a couple of bucks? Well, if you've got a restaurant full of employees that you're paying $15 an hour, what do you think the price of that Big Mac is going to go up to? It's not going to be cheap. You know what? There won't be a dollar menu anymore at McDonald's if we're going to pay to all of these people $15 an hour. And a little tidbit, a little side note to all of this is that at least here in St. John's and in St. Louis, we had a guest. All the workers had a rally here downtown in Keter Plaza on Tuesday, and they had a very special guest. It was Georgia Representative Democrat Hank Johnson. You all remember Hank Johnson. Hank Johnson was the one who was afraid that if there were too many people on Guam, the island was going to tip over. Do I really need to say more about who Hank Johnson is? And he's at the rally with all of the people who work at McDonald's who would like to have $15 an hour. So there was that. I've never gotten to all of these, the poll on race relations. Let's just say that since Obama has been elected, it hasn't been all that great. People who think that race relations are good and bad, it's gone down. Both if the question was asked among whites as well as blacks, there's not a very rosy picture being painted of it. And a lot of it has to do, of course, with the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation, and just kind of race relations in general since Barack Obama has taken office. And, you know, he was supposed to be the post-racial president. But also, I need to do a little bit of housekeeping here before I go tonight. First of all, I want to say congratulations to the man who started it all, Mr. Rush Limbaugh, on his 25 years on the EIB network. Congratulations, Rush. You've raised many of us. You have taught us all not what to think, but you've taught us how to think. And I, for one, can't thank you enough. Congratulations. Here's to 25 more years. Let's hope there's 25 more years to come. Congratulations, Rush. Keep going, man. You are the man. You're the greatest. Also, we'll be taking a break here from broadcasting next week. Conservative Cauldron blog. I will be blogging live at the Smart Girl Summit in Indianapolis, Indiana next week. It looks like it's going to be a great conference. We're going to have a lot of great speakers. The Lieutenant Governor of Indiana will be speaking. Author and commentator Katie Kavlich will be there. There will be a whole host of, like I said, a whole host of great speakers, authors, people will be there. And so I'm going to take a break next week, but if you check out the conservativecauldron.blogspot.com, there will be all kinds of stuff to look at and talk about and read. So I want to thank everybody for being with me tonight. This half hour goes so quick, and we've always got so much to talk about that I feel like I got to talk really fast and get it all in. So I hope that's not too irritating. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. Go to conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. You can also check it out on Twitter. I am on Twitter at PatriotWitch. Go to examiner.com. There's plenty of my writings there. And, of course, we're always here on Friday night, except for next week. So, anyway, that's about it for tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I will see you in 2 weeks.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
that it